Public opinion of the U.S. Supreme Court has taken a turn for the worse in the last month or so. Gallup found that 40% of Americans approve of the justices' job performance, the lowest since Gallup started keeping track of public opinion of the court back in 2000. The Supreme Court's lifetime appointments are meant to shield justices from the ups and downs of public opinion and to allow them to make decisions based solely on their interpretation of the law. But some research has shown that in spite of that setup, the Supreme Court can be vulnerable to public opinion and to the possibility of the legislative and executive branches diminishing their power. We're talking about public perception of the Supreme Court and how it can influence justices' opinions, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. How has your opinion of the U.S. Supreme Court changed over the years? Is there a decision that made you appreciate it more or like it less? Do you think it should be insulated from polling and public opinion and not worry about the twists and turns of what people think about particular issues? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Amanda Savage is an associate professor of political science at Loyola University Chicago. Her research focuses on the Supreme Court and judicial decision making. Amanda, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You wrote a piece in the Washington Post recently looking at these issues. First of all, can we start with what we think of the Supreme Court? What have we seen in the twists and turns of public opinion about the Supreme Court?
Absolutely. So what recent polling has suggested is that the court's approval rating is at an all-time low. Now, when we say all-time, we really only mean since the year 2000, because that's when Gallup started doing these polls on a regular basis. But the cautionary point there before thinking of, okay, everyone just distrusts the court now, is that these numbers tend to fluctuate a lot. So while maybe 40% of people who were polled approve of the Supreme Court now, those numbers were in the mid to high 40s during the late Obama years. They shot back up into the 50s, kind of in the early Trump years. They've been low before, and they tend to bounce back pretty regularly.
You also write about trust in institutions, and there the Supreme Court does pretty well, especially if you compare it to something like Congress, right?
Yeah, political scientists are careful to caution that there's a difference between approval of the court, which tends to reflect, do people agree with, you know, the whatever most recent decision the court has made, with kind of their long-term gut reaction of, I trust this institution, especially as compared to trusting Congress or trusting the president. And there, what we see is that the court is really resilient. It can make a lot of decisions that people disagree with. And while we might be upset with the court, we don't fundamentally trust the idea of the court less.
The court, in theory, is nine justices with their interpretation of the law, trying to take the Constitution and precedent and weigh each issue based on that. So, of course, public opinion doesn't have anything to do with it, except, you write, sometimes it might?
Yeah. And I think that that's surprising for a lot of people, because we kind of built this institution to be insulated from the public mattering. We kind of don't want our interpretation of the law to be influenced by what people think day to day. But justices care about their legacy. They care about their decisions being enforced. They care about a lot of factors that really require the public. And so when public trust or public approval in the court is low, the justices pay attention to that. And sometimes they'll change from their ideology or their judicial interpretation to rein themselves in to be more in line with the public. They don't want the public to lose trust in them.
Why is that? Is there something about, hey, if we get too far off of track with public opinion, there might be a threat to this institution we're part of if, say, Congress or the president think, yeah, we need to tackle some changes here?
Yeah. So, and there's a caution there. So the justices are concerned about either the decisions being ignored by Congress or the president because they're so out of line with public. Remember, the court can't enforce its own decisions. But they're also concerned about Congress or the president, or maybe both, retaliating. So right now, President Biden has instituted a commission to study the potential for judicial reforms, everything from the possibility of adding new justices to the court to potentially changing the Constitution to make justices' life tenure term limited. And the justices really don't want that to happen. The caution there, of course, is that a lot of those changes are hard politically, and the justices know that they're hard politically, so they feel pretty secure that even if the public is upset with them, that it takes a lot for the president to do something, for instance, to say pack the court.
One of the times we pay a lot of attention to the Supreme Court is when there's a vacancy in the court and an appointment. And this, of course, is a highly political event. It seems like whenever this happens, how much does that affect the public opinion of the court and maybe play into the mindset of that new justice who does get approved?
Well, vacancies are always really fun for people with my job because it's kind of the only time that the public pays really close attention to the court. And so my students watch C-SPAN and it's great for me. But research suggests, at least historically, that time period when everybody's paying attention is an opportunity for the court to actually shore up its legitimacy, that we see these justices sit at this table and refuse to answer political questions because they need to be above politics. And it kind of reinforces all the symbols that we think of the court as kind of above politics and only caring about the law. Now, that's changed in recent years. And now with everything from the controversy surrounding Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the delay of Merrick Garland and Eric Burr getting a confirmation vote, now the confirmation politics tend to politicize the court rather than depoliticize it. And that's scary, I think, for the justices.
Talking to Amanda Savage, Associate Professor of Political Science at Loyola University Chicago, looking at research on the U.S. Supreme Court and public opinion and the times when public opinion might influence the thinking on decisions of those justices. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your opinion of the U.S. Supreme Court, the impact of politics on it, your questions for our guest. The number is 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our conversation with Amanda Savage, Associate Professor of Political Science at Loyola University Chicago, looking at the impact that public opinion can have on Supreme Court decisions, what drives public opinion, and why it can influence justices in some cases. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just going to ask the guest, it seems that the politicalization of the court really started with Robert Bork. I mean, he was a more than qualified justice. He just happened to have an interpretation of the Constitution that some people liked, in particular towards abortion. Isn't the abortion debate really what's driving the politicalization of the court? And isn't it better if we had maybe just instead of a weak abortion decision, a really strong abortion decision on its constitutionality that would help the whole situation?
Charlie, thanks for the call. Abortion as a big part, Amanda, of public opinion toward the court, first of all. What do you think?
It's certainly the issue that I think divides most Americans about the court, and it's probably top of mind when people think about the court. When you think about whether or not you trust the Supreme Court or approve of the Supreme Court or are worried about the Supreme Court, you kind of, your first thought goes to, do I support Roe versus Wade or not? In terms of Robert Bork, yeah, there's definitely evidence to suggest that something changed after the Bork nomination, where if senators were voting based on their ideology to confirm a nominee before Robert Bork, they might have still been doing it. And there's evidence to suggest that they were. What happened after Bork is that senators started using it and being open about the fact that ideological agreement with a nominee was a good reason to vote for or against a nominee. And so we see kind of the Senate being a lot more okay acknowledging that justices or potential justices have ideologies that they should care about, even on abortion.
Now, let's step into the minds of Supreme Court justices as best we can. Are they thinking about public opinion when, say, a big abortion case comes from Texas or Mississippi and thinking, wow, if I make a particular decision, this could shake faith in the court or politicize it somehow, if this is possible, even more?
I think it probably depends on which justice's mm-hmm. mind you're stepping into. I think that John Roberts cares deeply about the institution, both his own personal institutional legacy and kind of what the front page of the New York Times looks like the day after the court overturns Roe versus Wade. And I think that his decision-making is probably guided a lot by taking a more narrow approach to avoid the big splashy headlines and the dragging the court into controversy. But there are justices on the court that I think have very strong personal beliefs about Roe in both directions who probably care a little less. And for instance, I don't think that Clarence Thomas is particularly concerned with what's said about him or the court and the media.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Terry now in Green Bay. Terry, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, the ultimate public opinion is obviously the vote. And the last, I do believe the number is five of the most recent justices appointed were appointed by presidents who lost the popular vote, but they won the Electoral College. So that ultimately, I think, sways a lot of stuff when it comes to, you know, and then the role of the Federalist Society these days with justices and, you know, those being nominated.
Thanks for the call, Terry. I don't know the exact numbers, but that would apply to three Trump appointees. I'm thinking a couple of George W. Bush appointees. What do you think? Should we measure the impact of Supreme Court justices, the legitimacy of the Supreme Court justices, based on lack of popular support for the presidents who appointed them?
I'm not sure if we should or we shouldn't. What I can tell you is that the public doesn't seem to. Mm-hmm. That even after Bush versus Gore decided the 2000 election, you would think that public trust in the court would have gone down in some way. Like kind of this, should the Supreme Court really be deciding presidential elections? And the answer is actually no, that there was maybe a slight dip immediately following Bush versus Gore, but kind of that same latent level of trust that we have for the Supreme Court wasn't much affected by it. And so maybe it should be affected, but the public doesn't seem to care.
Terry, thanks for the call. Going out to Jim in Hartford. Jim, hi.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I do think the Supreme Court has been exposed. They do not have really any peace. If you look at the rent moratorium that they told President Joe Biden not to do, he just came up with different wording and it goes back into the courts. I mean, ultimately, they just can play games with the Supreme Court, and really there's no enforcement there as far as I know. And also, they did not want to get involved in the election. They didn't want to decide the election. They stayed and ran far away from that when we really needed them. And I think they lost a lot of confidence. I think the whole system lost a lot of confidence when that came about. And
I'm sorry, you're talking about last year's presidential election, the Supreme Court not intervening?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I believe they should have took it up, but I know I'm not, you know, I know that's just my opinion,
sure.
But they really lost a lot of faith.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. And that makes me think, Amanda, when we see the court approval going down at any point, it might be a conservative wishing that the court had overturned the Affordable Care Act, say, or intervened in the election last year. And it could also be people on the left worried about the impact on abortion or rulings on campaign finance laws. They could be losing support kind of on both ends, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what more recent scholarship has found is that while we kind of have this, like, deep underlying gut level trust in the court, that really can be hampered by disagreement with decisions. Maybe not just like one decision or two decisions. Mm-hmm. We tend to forgive them. But on either side of the aisle, if the court kind of either consistently does things that we dislike or we feel like it's consistently doing things that we dislike, that can really hamper trust in the institution over time. And I think that that's what the justices are concerned about now, that kind of both sides are upset with the court.
Now, we've seen, thanks for that call, by the way, Jim, we've seen justices who we might consider on left and right, Amy Coney Barrett, for example, Stephen Breyer, saying and making a point of saying to the public, hey, we are motivated by our judicial philosophy. We are not Democratic and Republican justices. I don't know. It seems like we're hearing that more lately from justices. What do you make of their sort of PR campaign?
Well, that's actually the thing that struck me the most about this news, the Gallup poll, I don't think was particularly surprising. How the justices responded to the Gallup poll was the thing that I took notice of. Justices don't tend to go on kind of PR goodwill tours. And we see from Stephen Breyer across the ideological spectrum to Amy Coney Barrett, they're worried. And it might be the presidential commission. It might be that they're reading the same polling data that we are. But the fact that they're going so far out of the way to try to talk the public out of, no, we're not political, I think is both a sign of maybe an institutional legitimacy crisis, or also they know as much as we do how controversial this upcoming term is going to be. And they're trying to kind of soften public feelings before they issue some, I think, really hard opinions.
And briefly, Amanda, give us a preview of some of the high profile cases that are coming. We've mentioned one or two of them so far.
Absolutely. So the court is going to decide a ban on abortions after 15 weeks coming out of Mississippi, which the legal question in that case really has the possibility of overturning Roe versus Wade if the court chooses to go in that direction. So there's a pretty major abortion case coming. There's a case coming out of New York about the right to own and carry a gun outside of the home. So there's a pretty major interpretation of the Second Amendment. There's some hot button immigration cases coming. There's a couple of religious establishment clause or kind of the ability of public funds to pay for, say, private religious schools. Kind of all the things that get people rallied about the court are all coming up this term.
Amanda, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That's Amanda Savage, Associate Professor of Political Science at Loyola University Chicago. Her research focuses on the U.S. Supreme Court and on judicial decision-making. She talked to us about public perception of the U.S. Supreme Court and how it might, in some instances, make justices think twice about how they rule on controversial issues.